Hey friends, it's your pal Mike Shea from Sly Flourish. Today, I am going to give my first thoughts, kind of first feelings about using Obsidian for lazy RPG prep. This video is going to be different than other videos I do. It is not a video of solid tips and tricks for how to use Obsidian for your TTRPGs. Instead, we are going to explore together what it's been like to start to use Obsidian for lazy RPG prep. I've only just really dipped my toe into it. I've been using it for a couple of months now here and there, and I'll show some of the stuff that I do, but I'm not really like blasting you with like, here are the five reasons you need to switch to Obsidian or anything like that. But we're going to talk about Obsidian. We're going to talk about what it's been like to use it for my games. I'm going to give some of my ideas about what I've been doing. And we're just going to talk about what it's been like to do RPG prep using Obsidian. This show, like all of the work of Sly Flourish, is available to you because of the fine support from patrons of Sly Flourish. Patrons are going to get access to lots of the stuff that I'm talking about today. So the actual templates that I'm using, some of the other tips and tricks, I've got some other pages of code that I'm going to be sharing. Those are all available to Sly Flourish patrons, but patrons also help me put on shows like this. To the patrons of Sly Flourish, thank you so much for your outstanding support. So it's kind of funny. I got involved in Notion a few years ago because a friend of mine showed it to me, and she showed me how she used it for player notes, but she also is a GM and she used it a lot for GM notes as well. And that got me excited about it. And I tried it and I got into it. And then I built the templates and I built like the lazy GM Notion template that you can go and use and duplicate and create for your own Notion pages. And I've been using Notion for years, like at least 3 years, I think, since COVID. And I love it, right? I've been using Notion for a long time, but the person that showed me about Notion has now switched to Obsidian. And lots of people initially were like, have you tried Obsidian? Have you tried Obsidian? And there's lots of parts of Obsidian that gel with me very well, which we're going to talk about today. But I was like, well, I'm already in Notion and I'm good. And that's still true. I'm still in Notion and I'm still good. And I like Notion. But I'm like, I'm always kind of interested in trying out new things. And I thought like, oh, let me just play with Obsidian and see what it's like. And I really like Obsidian. Am I going to switch over completely? I have a feeling I'm going to have Notion notebooks for a while. And I'm certainly not taking down my Notion template. So people will always be able to use that. But I have started to use Obsidian for game prep, particularly for my Wednesday Empire of the Ghouls game. And I've been enjoying it a lot. And probably when I start a new campaign, I'm probably going to start keeping my notes in Obsidian. And I'll talk a little bit about why, you know, but one thing that I think is critical, a critical point, I have lots of critical points about this video. And critical point number one is I am not saying whatever tool you're using, you should switch away from and use Obsidian. There are so many different ways for us to capture our game prep and to use tools to help us run our games. I don't think I'm going to recommend any particular one. There are some that I like, and I'm going to focus on those that I like, and I'm going to show those, and I'm going to offer tips. And if you look at my Notion videos, I think I say this even in my Notion videos, that I'm not convincing you. Like, if you're happy with OneNote, or you're happy with Word, or you're happy with, you know, Legend Keeper, or whatever other tools you use, I'm not saying, oh, you should stop using that tool you love and switch over to Notion because it's that much better. Now, if you're interested in trying out new tools, like I am, this is an opportunity to try out a new tool. If you have problems with your existing tool sets that you wish other things solved, and you see some of those solutions in the ones that I'm talking about, that is certainly a factor as well. But I am not, by no means am I saying, oh, you need to switch from whatever your prep tool is now to this. Because, you know, I felt the same way, that I would not switch just because somebody's like, oh, you should totally use this. I've had lots of people that's like, oh, you should use Obsidian, you'll like it more. And I do like it more. I will also say, like, Obsidian has changed a lot in the last couple of years. So when I first got it and played with it, I didn't like it nearly as much as I like it now. And I think the company that makes Obsidian. So we're going to talk all about that today on our show. In order to do this, I figured, you know what we should do is actually use Obsidian for notes and stuff like that. So this is Obsidian. Welcome to Obsidian. I am using the Obsidian client on the Mac. I'm pretty sure they have an Obsidian client on, you know what we'll do is we'll use our other browser window. I'm pretty sure that they have available for other platforms. So let's see. They have it for Android. They have it for Windows. They have it for Linux. So they've got lots of different Obsidian platforms. It is a client-based tool. There isn't a web-based, it's not a web-based tool like Notion is. And we'll talk about like what are the examples between Notion and this, but something to keep in mind is that it does require client-side software, whether it is mobile software or whether it is software for your PC. You're using local software for some people, that's a big advantage because they know that they're not dependent upon any network-based application like Notion. For other people, though, it's a disadvantage. Right? Oh, God, I got to install and update software and all that stuff. So that's something to consider when we're looking at Obsidian. So one thing, I want to make this video useful, even though it's just my kind of general pontifications about what it's been like to use Obsidian. I still want this video to be like directly useful to you. If you are interested in digging in more, let's see, I got my put my reader mode here. Boop. If you are interested in digging in more into Obsidian, in this video's show notes, you will find, or the video, I'll probably put this on the podcast as well. In the show notes to this video or podcast, you will find a bunch of links to websites and video, YouTube playlists and other things that can show you the full depth of what Obsidian can do when it comes to RPG prep. I will warn you that many of these resources go very into the deep end of the pool with lots of different plugins that are built for RPG use. Maps with little tile markers or little location markers that are hyperlinked to things, and hold suites of D&D software that let you run encounters and that let you track, you know, build monster stat blocks and let you build a whole atlas for your game. Lots. It's very much the deep end of the pool. So much so that I know I felt this way, and I've heard other people that feel this way, that like it feels like too much all at once. And what I am going to show in this today is how little I am using to still get some fun value out of Obsidian. But these videos and these articles and things like that really talk about what the full capability of Obsidian is and do a better job than I'm probably going to do in this video, given that they're by people who have been using Obsidian for RPG work for a long time. So tip number one, you want to learn more about this, check out the show notes, check out the resources, and you can find out. So this video and this is really just my first taste of Obsidian. I'm probably going to change my mind about a lot of different things. I'm testing a lot of stuff. I'm going to talk about those tests today. I'm going to show you how I've used it, but I'm still experimenting. So I doubt that if you're watching this video, you know, months or years after I've published it, then certainly I've changed how I've used it. One of the other things, this is kind of a larger point for me, is sometimes it's just fun to dork with our systems, right? We have different systems that we use for prep. And by system, in this case, I'm talking about like how we keep our notes, how we track things, how we write down what we write down. Not necessarily like, you know, using Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master, using versus other sort of preparation ideas. So that's another element where we could experiment and try different things. And I certainly do. But I'm talking more about these specific tools that we use, both like digital tools or physical tools that we're using to like keep, you know, write our notes, do our prep, run our notes during the game, take notes during the game, and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes it's just fun. I don't know. I think there are some people who would prefer to just keep using the thing they're using forever. And that's cool. And then there are other people who just like to mess with, and I'm kind of a mess with the system sort of dude. I like to try things out. I like to experiment with it. I like to try out new tools. But there's a couple of risks of that. So the advantage is you're sort of excited to do your prep because you get to try this new system out. And you get to play with the new system while you're doing your prep. And that's fun. And that makes your prep fun. And that means your game is going to be more fun because you're enjoying the time that you're spending on prep by playing around with the new tools that you've got. I made a physical notebook. I got a physical 3-ring binder. I left it upstairs. But I have a physical 3-ring binder that I've started to use for my games, whether I'm online or in person. I like to have physical books there. I use little sheet protectors. I slide maps in. I slide a printout of my notes in there. I take notes in it. I've got like reference sheets so I can have quick lookup tables and things like that. And I've made it my own. I put a bunch of D&D stickers on it to make it look like an old Trapper Keeper from 1980. And I've really enjoyed that. And just the process of making that notebook and playing with it and making it my own has been fun. And that by that, that's been like another sort of game for me. In the same way, playing around with Obsidian has been like a fun new game for me. And I've been enjoying it. And I think we get that. But there's some risks. Risk number one is you spend more time. So if you've got a system you're already using and you're already used to it, and time is tight, I don't know that spending time dorking around with a new system is going to make your game better. In fact, you probably should just focus on your game. So if your time is tight and you find yourself kind of spending too much time in the system, it's definitely a draw. It's definitely a way that you get pulled into spending time with the system and then realizing, oh man, I totally didn't pay any attention to the characters, and then your game isn't that great. So I think that's a worry. Another one is that like archiving is not great because if you have all of these different systems that you've tried, all of them are going to have different ways for you to archive your notes or keep your notes and stuff like that. And it means that like later on, it might be harder for you to keep track of your notes. So for example, if I start using Obsidian for my game prep, I now have a different way that my campaigns are going to be organized than I did with Notion. Now, I'm very careful that every time I finish a campaign in Notion, I export it. So I have a nice HTML version of that campaign. But that's going to be different than the campaigns that I run in Obsidian. The Obsidian ones, I'm probably just going to keep the markdown text for. So it means that my archiving is different. And if I ever want to go back, no one else is really going to care. But if somebody was to go back and try to go through the list, they would see like, oh, wow, here's this time where he went from this system to another system. And that can be a problem. So archiving your system, and that puts it at risk because it means you could lose stuff. It means that you could have old notes that you didn't keep track of. And because you used an old system, it was locked in. Like, I don't know how you archive OneNote, right? If somebody is using OneNote, I don't know how you save your OneNote stuff so that you can view it again without OneNote. And that's a real trick. Like, the nice thing about Notion is you can export to Markdown, you can export to HTML. So I can always look at those notes without needing Markdown again. Obsidian is the same way. I can always look at my notes because they're all Markdown files. So I can go and look at any text editor. I can open up the files and take a look at it. So that idea of like, why is it fun to dork with our systems and try out new things? What the risks are of that, I think, is worth considering. But it's also fun at the same time. And I've kind of spent my own free time digging into Obsidian. I haven't made it like a project of mine. It isn't something that I've said, like, I definitely want to do this so I can shoot videos about it or talk about it. It's like, oh, I'll play with it when I want to play with it. And I have played with it and I've liked it, but I haven't made it like a definite thing that I'm going to switch. So why even look at Obsidian? What are Obsidian's advantages as a platform for keeping track of our RPG notes? Why would somebody want to use this? And in particular, why would you want to use like Notion over Obsidian? So what is Obsidian? So Obsidian, as I mentioned, is a client-based application. It's sort of like, you can imagine it like a Word or a text editor, or what would be another, again, like a OneNote sort of application, but it is a thick application. It's an application you have to install either on your mobile device or on your PC or your Mac, or if you have a Linux machine, if you're one of the 12 people that uses a Linux machine regularly, then I bet actually there's pretty big overlap of people who just use Linux machines and my little audience here. But so it is a thick client application, and it works with a local database of Markdown files. That database is just folders and files. So there is no underlying format for Notion like there is with other systems. There isn't like a single file that contains all of your interlinked text editor or text files or anything like that, like OneNote would be. Instead, if you can open up your directory and see all of your files, and I'll show an example here. So I'm going to show it in Obsidian. But really, all of these are just directories that you can see in any kind of directory. So I have like my Empire of the Ghouls one. That is a folder. Characters is a folder. Character notes is a file. And it's a Markdown file. So the main difference that Obsidian has with other tools like this is that all of its files are in Markdown. I'm not going to talk too much. I'll talk a little bit about Markdown. But they're all just text files. And they're text files that are formatted in a particular format called Markdown. Markdown is a very lightweight way of formatting text so that other applications can render it into things like headers and subheaders and links and bold and italic and other things like that. There is a good, yeah, so Markdown Guide has a good example of like what Markdown is. And it tells you very, very simple stuff. And Markdown is actually invented by a fellow named John Gruber. John Gruber writes a site called Daring Fireball. He wrote this long ago. And I don't even know exactly what his intention was with it. Where's the syntax? Here, the cheat sheet. This is what we want. But really, it's design. Markdown's design is so that you can read a text page. I will show an example here. I'll close this here and we'll switch to the editing mode. And we will go into source. So this is what it looks like in text. You can see that I've got a pound sign for a main header, double pound sign is a secondary header, triple pound sign is a tertiary header, and then it's just text. Little dashes for bullets, right? You can do little parens for parentheses for links. Let me show my the notes that I was keeping here, Obsidian for D&D, because it's a little bit more complicated. It gives you a better idea of what we're looking at here. So you can see how I did brackets around Obsidian, brackets around Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master. You can see the stars around Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master. But the advantage that Markdown has is the text version of it is human readable. So unlike HTML, which is like, you know, I can read HTML and understand it, but most people aren't going to be able to read HTML. When the Markdown syntax is so thin that you can read the text version of it, and it still makes sense. It gets a little bit more hairy when you have things like, I'm using reference style links. So the example is I put a bracket around Obsidian, and then down in my references, you can see where it has Obsidian. Where is Obsidian? There it is. It has Obsidian in here, and it has the link. And then that way, when you render it, which now with one click and mark and OneNote, you can render it, and I click it, it goes to like the Obsidian homepage. So that way you can hyperlink things easily. But the main thing is you can read the text in its native format and understand what's going on. It looks human readable. You can see the indentations. Now it's Obsidian is styling it with Markdown stylings along with showing you the markup at the same time. So it shows like what a header looks like and stuff like that. But the nice thing is, and you know, I've been working in Markdown for a long, long time. In fact, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Sly Flourish is built on Markdown files. So if I go to any of my files, here's a little dirty trick for you. You can type .txt at the end of any URL. And this is what an article for Sly Flourish looks like when I write it. All right, this is exactly what it looks like when I write it. And you can see it's got Markdown text in here. There's a bracket around dungeon crawls. It's using a little dash. I should actually use dashes instead of stars. But you see how this is interesting. Stars and dashes used this way are actually interchangeable. You can use them either way. But I should use dashes. I want to stick to a consistent style. But obviously, I didn't for this one. But you can see my double headers. You can see my links in here. I have the reference links at the bottom. So Markdown is a really easy format. And I've been writing now articles in Markdown for more than a decade. So Markdown is just an easy syntax for me to write with and to use, and I really like it. Now, is it better than Word if you'd rather use Word? No. We had somebody on the Discord server today saying, I don't know why I would switch over from Word into Markdown. I don't know what advantage Markdown gives me, right? If you don't see it, then it probably isn't that helpful. I like working in text. I've been writing in text for a long time. I actually prefer a non-WYSIWYG editor because I don't want the style to get in the way of me doing my craft. When I'm writing an article in Sly Flourish, I use a text editor called BB Edit, and it's just a text editor. It's a black screen with white text, and I just type, and I don't worry about formatting and styling other than the Markdown formatting, which I'm doing to render the HTML version. I prefer it that way. But if you don't prefer it that way and you rather have a WYSIWYG editor, then you're probably better off using WYSIWYG editor. So that's kind of Markdown and why we would want to use Markdown. Now, the interesting thing is both Notion and Obsidian use Markdown. You can type Markdown text into Notion and it will format it as well. You can also export information from Notion and it will export to Markdown. If you write a big document in Notion and then select the text and then paste it into a text editor, it will paste the Markdown syntax. So it's pretty native. Notion is also pretty native to Markdown, which is one of the reasons why I like Notion. So the real difference between Notion and Obsidian is that Notion is a server-based application run by a company. You have to count on that company always being up. If the company ever just disappeared for some reason, or you lost access to it or something, all of the stuff that you have in Notion goes away with it. Your ability to take notes goes away with it. So it's important to export your data from Notion so you have a local copy. And a lot of people don't do this, and a lot of people don't pay attention to it, and they forget. And that means all of your stuff that's up in Notion is the advantage of Notion is it's web-based. You don't have to download any client. You can use it on your phone. You can use it on any kind of PC or Mac. You can use it in any browser. I can go to my machine at work and I can load up my Notion notes there without having to like install special software or anything like that. So there's a real advantage to having it served that way. And the disadvantage is you don't really control the data. That even the exports, like once you've done the export, that's a static version. It's not like you can edit your local version and it's updating the remote. Obsidian, on the other hand, is all local. Your vault, they call it a vault. The vault is basically the directory, the root level directory where all of your Markdown files are kept. Your vault is local. All of your files are local. They are all in the native Markdown format. So you never actually have to do any kind of conversion. If you wanted to archive, and you probably should, archive and back up your Obsidian vault, you can literally just right click, make a zip file, move the zip file, and it has all of the files in the same way that Obsidian is using it. So there's a big advantage. That's probably the number one advantage that people describe when they talk about Obsidian is how you control the data. Now, there's a trick with that. And the trick with that is if it's all local, how do I view it elsewhere? How do I view it on my phone or anything like that? Well, there's a few different ways. So Obsidian has a couple of different services. So Obsidian is a commercial company. This is not open source software. It's not a completely open source application. So for those who are really interested in something being pure open source, Obsidian is not pure open source. It is very lowercase open in the sense that you can write lots of plugins for it. The plugins are very open. You can get them on GitHub. You can see what they're doing. So there's lots of ways to modify Obsidian. And we'll talk a little bit about that with plugins and stuff like that. But it's a commercial company that develops the software. For private use, the software is free. If you are including other people, if you're running a company with more than one person and that has access to it, then you start having to pay for the software. But it's a reasonable price. It's like $50. Yeah, $50 for commercial use. Right? Pretty great. $50, you know, per user per year. That's pretty low. Add-ons are sync. So sync is a way that you can sync your notes across different platforms. However, there's actually a lot of other ways that you can sync your notes. I'm going to talk about one of them now, but there are many ways that you can do it with that you probably are already syncing files a little bit, like Dropbox or Google Drive or iCloud. I'm using iCloud for it, and that works just fine. Publish, I actually signed up for yesterday. Publish is a way to be able to post your Obsidian notes in public. So an example is this set of notes here. I can say publish this, and then I can go to my URL and you can see my Obsidian notes, right? And this is the set of notes that I took for this very show. So I signed up for that because I wanted a way to be able to share notes. Particularly, I wanted to be able to share notes with patrons. So patrons will get URLs to this. They'll get URLs to new articles and stuff like that I post. Anytime I have something that is something that I'm not just putting up on SlyFlourish.com, I can post it to here and people can get access to it. There's a problem with that too, which means I have to pay for this forever, which is why it's kind of patron funded, right? That if I'm having to pay the monthly fee, or there's a yearly fee, I think it's $96 a year, $10 a month or $96 a year, I have to keep that up and running for a long time, which is makes me a little bit weird. Now, again, I have the markdown files locally, so I could always kind of dump those into HTML and put them somewhere else if I wanted to. So they offer that. But syncing for me was a critical factor. I want to be able to load my Obsidian notes anywhere, particularly from my computer to my phone. And what I found is that when I use the Obsidian Vault, when I use Obsidian on my phone, it would use iCloud to back it up. And that worked out really, really well. It means that my local version of Obsidian on my Mac can use the exact same vault that is synced through iCloud that my phone uses. And I don't have to pay any extra money for that. That's just part of how iCloud for the Mac. That works really well. I haven't really experimented with anything other than iCloud, so I can't say for sure how syncing works on mobile devices and local machines the same way other than iCloud. iCloud, I know, worked fine. So I like that. Now, I couldn't put that folder anywhere. I had to put it very specifically in the application side of it. So that is a big piece. So that talks about why. But again, I want to make sure I'm being really crystal clear about this. Am I recommending Obsidian? Am I recommending anything? No. I am showing why I think Obsidian is pretty cool, just like I have showed why I thought Notion was really cool. But we each kind of pick whatever application works best for us in our own use case. This is another one of those examples where there are many right answers. There isn't one tool that's better than all of the other tools. And even though you have a tool that you absolutely love and you can't understand why anybody would want to use any other tool than the one that you love, lots of other people have tools that they love and they feel the exact same way about. So we all have different tools that we like. We all have different ways that we play this game and prep our game and tools that we use. And there are many right answers. If you are unhappy with the tools that you're using and seeking to use other ones, or you just like experimenting, then it's certainly worth experimenting. And I definitely think Obsidian is cool, or I wouldn't even be talking about it. But do I say like, oh, you should definitely switch from Notion to Obsidian? Absolutely not. Do I say you should switch from OneNote to Notion? No, absolutely not. Should you stop using Word documents? No. Not that I don't care. I was about to say I don't care. I do care. I care that you use the prep tools that help you run the game, that you enjoy using, and that help you run awesome games for your friends. And my hope is to kind of give you ideas and thoughts and other sort of head tools that you can use, whatever system you're using. One of the reasons why I think Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master is as popular as it is because it is a tool-agnostic application, is a tool-agnostic system. You can use any set of tools, and I have used any set of tools. I'm about to show you how to do an Obsidian, to do kind of lazy GM prep. A lot of people have talked about how they get sort of overwhelmed with all of the different plugins, because the plugin architecture for Obsidian is vast. And there are many, many people who have created incredible plugins to handle role-playing game stuff in particular. And the resources have links that show you all the different kinds of things that you could do to build these tremendous interfaces for running your game. I want to keep things simple. So I'm going to show you how I run it for my own games, to really kind of just keep things straightforward and simple. I've simplified it even further than I did with my Notion stuff, which was already pretty simple. And I'm going to talk about some of that way that I've been playing with it. I'm like, you know, maybe I don't need to have like a separate NPC file. What if I just had one file that had the Dramatis persona of all of the different NPCs that I have? And that way I can print it out and put it in my Trapper Keeper style notebook on one page instead of having to have like, oh, a whole bunch of different character pages. So we're going to show that. But you can keep things simple in a couple of different ways that for when we're talking about RPG prep with Obsidian. One is only create like new files and new folders when you really need them. Don't just build a deep structure and then assume that you'll fill it up with stuff. Only look for a solution when you have a problem. That's number one. Two is, the same is true with plugins. Only bring in a plugin when you really want a plugin to do a specific thing. And you already know what that thing is, right? That is another, to me, another big case on this. So I really thought about keeping things on how I could keep things simple. Another example of this, which I'll actually show, is not linking to things all the time. I know that, and again, I'm not offering advice. This is my own experience and my own thoughts, and I might change my mind. But as an example, I have a, right here, a character notes page for my Empire of the Ghouls game. And I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to, instead of having a separate page for every character, I'm going to have one page that has all the characters on it. And I'm actually missing a few characters because they weren't at the game that I ran last time. And that way I can just keep a bullet list of notes underneath each character. I only have to link to one page. You'll notice that this doesn't link to anything else. And that's because I don't want to overlink stuff. And I want it so that even in my editor version, it still really works. So let's see, we have Bruno, we have Durham, we have HB, we have Winasia, we need Vedpinion, we need Rohalan. I have, you know, more spaces where I can keep notes for my players as we go. Here, they are the people who care, and they're level 12, I think. I forget if they're level 12 or not. Oh, I see. So I did a separate section. You know what? I'm gonna dump the campfire tales. And that way I can just put any notes about the characters underneath there. What weapons do they carry? What intelligent magic items do they have? Anything like that I can drop right into this one page. The one thing that I do have, though, I don't have it in here, is an attachment set, which is anytime I want to put an image with something, I have it drop into an attachments folder. We'll talk about that in a bit. But you can see, very, very simple text document, right? And this is what it looks like in text. If you were to open the file in any text editor, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like if you render it, right? Obviously, it gets rid of the headers and it makes the bullets nice bullets. Very, very simple, very straightforward sort of stuff. So the way that I've been organizing my game is characters, locations, NPCs, and session notes. And that's it, right? Those are the folders. Characters, locations, NPCs, and session notes. And under locations, you can see where I have an attachments, I might have a page for a particular location that we're going to. And I have images for the location. Here's the bear map. So if I want to drop an owlbear rodeo or something like that, I have a copy of the bear map. And then here's one where I hand wrote on terms and then took a picture and then stuck the picture in my notes. Now, all of these images, this is the upper level and lower level. And then I had some notes for like the monsters and the who inhabits this overall location. That way, if I want to load that location again, I have that one for different sessions. I can always just load the location and that works really well. All of the images for this are in an attachments directory. I can't remember if defaulted this way, but I set up Obsidian that said anytime I add an image to this Iron Fang Keep file or note, it will take that image and throw it in the attachments directory. And that way my attachments directory has all of the images in whatever image format they have so that I can then grab that image. And again, they're just images in a directory. They're not stored in some weird binary format. You can literally copy and paste them out. You can open them up in other folders. It's just a folder. And that's a real nice advantage, is the local version of this is just a folder. Another example is NPCs. So this is one where I originally was like, oh, we should have a different file for every NPC, and you can have like a picture of the NPC, and you can have some notes about the NPC, and we can have other, I can add things. And that's how I did in Notion. If you recall, in Notion, I had cards for every NPC. But now that I'm switching over to using paper-based stuff a lot of times, I actually thought it was easier to have a single file. And this is where I'm talking about the simplification of things. A single file that just has all of the Dramatis personae. I like calling it Dramatis personae because it makes me sound special and cool. It's a nice way to just, like, all I need, like, what do I really need when I need character notes? Most of the time, all I really need is the name, because I forget the names. other people need more notes. You want some personality things that you're going to forget, or you want to like remember, oh, I used a particular accent for this. I think this is like a fundamental nature of how we take notes, is the notes that we take are the things that we think we're going to forget. That's what we should be taking notes on, I think. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. We should be taking notes on other things. I know that the act of taking notes helps reinforce them in our brain. But I also think like the things that we should be writing down are the things that we might forget. And I forget names. I suck at names. And maybe you forget other things. And that's the stuff you need to be keeping track of. I bet you we all need names. Or most of us need names. But the main thing that we can do here is I just write like one or two words about who they are. And that's almost always enough. If I say Marques Dorva Gray Suture, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember her. She was the one in the bloodbath that, you know, wanted us to kill that other person. Or the one of the characters kill that other person whose name I don't remember. But is in here somewhere. Her name is Lady. No, it wasn't Lady Malicious. I don't know if I have her name in here. Yeah. Countess Ladara. She's dead. Right. We could put deceased. I should probably put deceased next to all the dead people. So I found that this is really nice. Now, one other reason why I wanted to make this a single page was so that I can print it easily and put it as a single page in my 1980s style Trapper Keeper notebook. Now, if you wanted to have a larger thing, if you're like, look, for Lord Crash, I really want to do more, you can just hyperlink his name. You can actually do wiki style linking for this. And then when you click on it, you get a Lord Crash note. And then I can drop in a picture of whatever I wanted to do for Lord Crash or anything like that. Yeah, here are some notes. So if you feel like, if I feel like, I'm not telling you what to do with your life. If I feel like I need more than I want to put on the Dramatis persona and I really want to just capture some notes or probably particularly pictures, then I can just double link this. And now I've got a page that is hyperlinked for that one NPC. That actually works really well. So you can still expand it, but I don't think we should start by creating expansions for every NPC, which I've done in the past. In my Notion notebooks, I have a card for every NPC. The other thing is like, and if you've watched me do my prep shows, you've seen me hyperlink the names of people all the time. I hyperlinked my Notion notes like crazy. The number of times I ever clicked on one of those hyperlinks to see something is almost zero. I very rarely go back to something. I very rarely need to click those links inside of my notebook. I was just doing it because you could do it and because it was cool, but it didn't really matter that much. And so one of my philosophies that I'm going with now is hyperlink less. Now, why would you care? Well, I like my notes to be cleaner. And if you're working in Markdown, it's a lot cleaner if you're not hyperlinking things. And also I'm printing them out. And when you print them out, the hyperlinks are dead anyway. So why worry about hyperlinking them? So I'll show an example. This is probably where the real meat of this is in my session notes. We will pull up my session notes for my last game. So this is my session notes for the game I just ran. And we ran it online this past week. And you can see like on my character, and I call it character connections. One of the things I wanted to do is say, okay, for each character, what's something that they could really type in? So I have like Bruno. Well, I didn't bother to link Bruno to anything because I know who Bruno is, right? And I don't have a Bruno page anymore. Now I've got that character page. So if I want to look at that, I can do that. I have my strong start. I have my scenes. Scenes are just a regular outline. We can actually take a look at what this all looks like in the Markdown syntax. Was it already in Markdown syntax? Oh, hang on. Edit mode and source. All right. So this is what it looks like in the raw Markdown source. You know, I have my title, I have my character connections, and I just wrote what the character connections are. You know, who are the twins? I bolded them just so it's a little easier for me to pick out that name when I'm looking at it in my notes. I got my scenes, which is just, you know, dashes and then tabbed dashes. Secrets and clues, just a bunch of bullets. All right. Monsters. I'm going to talk about this where I threw in Forge of Foes stats right after that. This is a dirty trick that I've got that I really enjoy. But this is a way for me to throw the stats in directly. Now, I honestly, I don't even need this because I have another page in my notebook that has the CR 1/4 to CR 20 on one page of Forge of Foes. So I don't even need to put them in my notes because I could just look at my reference page. Or in this case, I would actually just look up a Frost Giant stat block. But if you want, you know, I can put the Forge of Foes stat directly in line. And then I have treasure. And this one I did link because like for the potion of invisibility, I probably didn't need because I can look that up pretty easily. The Cloak of Arachne, Arachnid, that one I wanted to actually link to Open 5e. And then the crystal ball, I put the direct description in it, which I could have done with the Cloak of Arachnid as well. And then I wrote my game notes at the end. We're going to talk about this during the Lazy GM talk show later today, Lazy RPG talk show, about what notes did I want to take. And I said, we ended the game. I wanted to be very critical about where we ended the game and kind of like what happened so that I wouldn't forget these kind of key points of things that occurred during the game. And we're going to talk about that later. So that's my notes. And the cool bit for this is I can print this out. I'm going to show my trick for printing this out. It's a little complicated. How I print these out is definitely in the deep realm of super nerdy, but it works really well for me. You probably need a better approach for yourself. And I doubt very many people would do it the way I do it, but it was a really handy setup. So that's all my notes. And you can see like they're not hyperlinked. Well, why aren't they hyperlinked? They're not hyperlinked because I don't use these notes during my game. My game, I'm using paper notes. So I don't really need to have them hyperlinked. So, you know, that's just, again, this is just something I'm playing with. What if I did less hyperlinking? Does it really matter? And I think the answer is it probably doesn't matter that much. So that's an example of like, and I have my notes for all my previous games here. Here's one where I was linking to them, but I now have since deleted those character pages. So these actually don't even work anymore. I'll keep them there just for fun. But they now, they go to empty pages because these pages, I used to have pages for every character and I got rid of them. So now they now stop working. So that you can see like that really, I mean, that's it, right? Like really, really thin. And so what I've been working on, and this is going to be available to patrons of Sly Flourish for what it, you know, for what little it is I did create a lazy campaign template. And this is like a bare template. This is probably the one that I'm going to use, right? And so we have sort of attachments for everything so that we have a place to put images. But characters, I was like, this is a page about characters. And then you, for each character, you have stuff that you keep track of for the character. But this is in one single page. You don't have to create a different page for each character. Again, this is just my idea, right? If I'm like, if you're like, oh my God, Mike, I can't believe you. How dare you tell me not to have different pages for all my characters? I hate you. We're all good. We can all try different things. And that's just something I'm trying. It's like, what if we kept it simple? And what if we had only one page per character? Because again, that means I can print this out on a single sheet of paper. Maybe a couple of sheets of paper instead of having like one for each one. I talked about locations. This is like where I dropped an image directly into a page, and you can see what it looks like when it's rendered. Here's some info about the tomb. You can say tomb info. Right, this is what it looks like when it's in a rendered page. The actual image is in the attachments folder, so if I need to grab that out, I like to put both the unmarked version of it so that I can drop that into like Owlbear Rodeo if I needed, or print out a copy that I can give to players, and a marked up version. I didn't make a marked up version for this, but I can do a marked up one where I printed it and wrote my notes on it and then took a picture of it and put the picture back up. That's how I've been doing things lately, and I've enjoyed that. And then we can have like a general locations page. I put it in here. I don't know if we need it though, because I don't know if I actually need a list of all the locations. I don't know that I really need that. I think maybe just like having this one page is probably good enough. In fact, I think I'm going to delete that. Because I don't, unlike the NPCs where I like to have a list, I don't think I need a list of all the locations, because I'm only worried about the location that I'm going to be running. And I can always go back and look at previous locations, but I just don't need that as a reference. I don't need that super handy. I don't think so. So then NPCs, we have our dramatist personae, and here is, you know, what it looks like. And I did hyperlink one of them to say, what would it look like if I had a picture? And so here's like Balin the Beardless, where I'm like, oh yeah, I want to have a picture of that guy, right? So you could do it that way. Not all of these need hyperlinks to their own page. Just the ones we want to take lots of notes or a picture. So that's like the NPC one. You have your drama's persona. You just list your NPCs. Super easy, right? And then session notes, right? And the session notes are your lazy GM style session notes. One trick that I do is I'm using this new date format of YYYYMMDD. So for example, 2024-030310. The reason you do that is you can sort on the file name. In reverse sort will be all of them from the newest to the oldest, or oldest to the newest. You can, of course, do your created time or modified time sort, but this way the file names themselves will sort nicely in their own directory. So that's kind of a handy way of naming your file so that it sorts well by date order. And then we just put our, you know, who are the characters? And this one, I've been calling this character connections. What are the connections between the character and this particular session? That definitely works. You strong start, you type that out. Scenes, you add your scenes, secrets and clues, put 10 of those in. fantastic locations. You could just list them out. You could put in little details, or you could link to a fantastic location page if you're doing that. Notable NPCs. I put this in here. Then what you could do with this one is make sure these guys are in your Dramatis persona. So if you want to make sure that they're going to last more than a session, drop them into your Dramatis persona list. Monsters, you can put in your list out the name of the monsters. Again, put like the page number from the book that the monster is in. So that works really well. Treasure, you can list out any treasure parcels that they're picking up. And then session notes are the notes that I want to keep at the end of my game to remind me where I'm going to be in my next session. So really, really straightforward set of what my session notes look like. I have now been using this. You can see, if I go back to my Empire of the Ghouls game now, I have been experimenting with this long enough to get a feeling for it. So since basically the beginning of the year, I've been running my sessions using this. You can even see my format of the dates, but at least they all sort nicely. And I think I've changed them a little bit. One thing I've been doing, because I have started my campaign in Notion, is I still copy and paste the session notes over to Notion so that my Notion one will be a complete view of the campaign. So when I archive it and save it in HTML, I'll have all this stuff with it too. That way my campaign isn't split across two different systems, even though my new stuff has all been done inside Obsidian. So that's kind of how I've been organizing my notes and stuff. Now, you'll notice I'm really not using any plugins. Like, I have hardly any plugins. And there's all of these super rich D&D-focused plugins that are out there. And I haven't really tried them because I kind of look at what problem do I need to solve first. And again, because I'm using this to kind of print these out to use at my to use in a note a physical notebook, a lot of the plugins aren't really things that I need. I'm not knocking anybody who loves that stuff. And again, I'm going to be linking to all the people who talk about all the stuff that they've got. Nicole from our Patreon, Nicole, who's been in the chats before and who's many of her videos and articles that I link to in this, loves to have lots of those tools. And she's totally right. And they're totally great. For me, it's like I want to kind of look at what problem I want to solve before I want to load a plugin. Because one of the things I do worry about with Obsidian is it's not a proprietary platform from your data, but the more plugins you use and the more you depend upon those plugins, the more proprietary your data gets. So if you have a lot of these tools in there, a lot of these plugins, and then you look at your raw notes, those raw notes are almost indecipherable without either Obsidian and those plugins. All of that stuff needs to continue to work. Now, once you have the plugin, you have it, but I've seen Obsidian update and have plugins break. And I bet you that's a problem when you're like your notes are working. So for me, the fewer plugins I can get away with, the better. Because A, it makes my life easier and simpler, but also because then I'm less dependent upon those plugins. I'm less worried about my notes becoming proprietary based on those plugins and all that sort of thing. Like as long as I was even worried about using wiki links in my notes, which is another one of the reasons why I don't link to stuff all that often, because wiki links felt proprietary to me. Because Obsidian will actually look at a wiki link and figure out where in your directory structure that link occurs. It's not a direct link. You can make a direct link, and actually there are options in Obsidian to make it a direct link. So if you ever decided, yeah, I want to be able to make those all direct links and not have a tool have to figure out that this name is actually tied to this one file, you can do so. But I do feel like it's sort of a misnomer that like, oh, Obsidian, you control everything. It's like, well, you control it as long as all your plugins work and as long as Obsidian works with all your plugins. But if any of those things start to break, some of that proprietary baggage, I think will hit you. Again, I'm not super experienced with it. I've only been using it for a couple of months, but it feels like a potential problem. So keeping your notes as independent as possible feels like a good thing. Here's an example. Let's talk about an example. So I have Vandekuhl here. I can double click Vandekuhl, and I can now that'll create a link, and I can create a Vandekuhl location page. And now I have a separate file. And if you notice, that isn't really where I want it because that created it under my session notes, right? That now created it. And I'm like, no, I want that under locations. So we're going to move it to locations. Right. So now under locations, I have a Vandekuhl folder. But if we look at the notes where I have Vandekuhl and we look at how it renders it with source, it didn't put the path. It doesn't show where that is located. And that's because Obsidian will actually figure that out. It will do the math and say, ah, that Vandekuhl, that name is unique among all of the stuff inside of this vault. And that means it's actually located here. That way your notes stay clean. The problem is if you open that up like in a markdown view, that link doesn't work. First of all, the double brackets is not a markdown link. That is a wiki link that Obsidian uses. So you're already now starting to mix your syntaxes, right? We have wiki links and we have markdown links. Is that the end of the world? Probably not. Could it be a hassle if like Obsidian went away or you decided you wanted to move your notes to something else? It could be. So there are ways in settings, and Nicole brings this up. There are ways in settings that you can say, hey, I want to make sure to always use the absolute link, or I only ever want to use markdown links, and it will change it all for your whole vault. So you could do that, and that way it's less platform dependent, it's more future proof, all that kind of stuff. But then you're like, yeah, except the whole reason that I did this is I like to have that really simple double bracket link. So, you know, the different ways that we have to kind of decide what we're doing. And this is, I know I'm totally nerdy territory here with how that all works. And actually with this one, we're not going to do that because I don't want a Vandekuhl link. So let's talk a little bit of, let's talk about Espanzo. I love the name Espanzo for one. What is Espanzo? I learned about Espanzo from Nicole, who happens to be here. And I said, oh, there's plugins where you can do sort of text filling, like auto filling of text. You type a certain thing and something else happens. I'll show a quick example, which is, I'll just do it right in here. Let's say I wanted to date this and I want to do a date. I can just do a colon and it auto fills it. Right. And it fills it in the format that I like. I think I could do L date and it does a human readable date, a different sort of human readable date. So that's autofilling. Autofilling is, you know, I want to do a shrug and I want the shrug emoji because the shrug emoji is one of my favorite emojis. So I want to have that handy. That all uses autofilling and autofilling. So there are plugins for Obsidian that will do that. But Nicole was like, why would you do that in Obsidian? Why not use a tool that does it system-wide? And she recommended one called Espanzo. Espanzo, let me open it up in a window here. So Espanzo is an open source, cross-platform, secure tool for filling in, for doing autocomplete kind of stuff. It is also pretty nerdy, particularly because in order to customize it, you have to modify a YAML file. If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, you can Google YAML files, YAML, yet another markup language is what YAML stands for. And it has its own syntax, which means you have to go into a directory, you have to open up a file, you have to modify that file, and you have to add things. Here's an example of a YAML file that I created for Espanzo. This one is actually designed, this is available to patrons of Sly Flourish. They can get access to this. This one is actually designed so that you can type any Forge of Foes stat block and it will drop in the full stat block. So as an example, and you can tell pretty nerdy, right? How this format is very specific in how this works. So you got to learn the format in order to work with Espanzo. But again, if you're nerdy, Espanzo is actually a really good tool. And I've now been using it and enjoying it and I like it. And it works very well with how I've been working with Obsidian. So going back to Obsidian here, as an example, let's go to we'll go into the session notes here. We'll go to one of my older session notes. And let's say I have a monster. And you can see that I have a bunch of monsters here. And I'm going to add, I have a Grim Harvester leader, but we're going to add, that's a CR10. That's right. We're just going to do like a regular Darakul, right? I could type, and I know a Darakul is CR3. I could type FOF3 space, and it drops in automatically a Forge of Foes stat line for a CR3 monster. This one uses my favorite optional rule of 1d6. The damage is always like their static damage plus 1d6, you know, and let's say I want to have like, oh, we'll throw a Taraskin, right? I can do FOF30 and it gives me a CR30 stat block. So really nice way for me to drop in a one line Forge of Foes stat line into my notes anywhere that I do it. That I'm using with Espanzo and with that, the big YAML file available to patrons that can drop that kind of stuff right in. So that sort of auto-filling capability, and again, you saw me use it with dates, right? If I want to throw a date in at the beginning of a file, this is going to totally screw up my notes, so I'll delete it. But I can do L date, colon L date, and it auto-fills the long date. Or I can do just date, and it gives me the one that's got the other one. And again, I added, because I use it a lot of times, shrug gives me the shrug emoji. And then the Forge of Foes ones, right? And I can do like Forge of Foes. Let's see. We'll do a bullet and we'll say FOF4. Bang. And it gives me the stat block for a Forge of Foes monster. So that works really well. That autocomplete. And that's with that tool called Espanzo. You can find a link for Espanzo. Again, my only stipulation with it is you do have to go like modify your config file yourself. Printing. I have talked about my desire to print stuff. So this is not an Obsidian. I think Obsidian has plugins, of course, that can help you with printing, but I have a particular way that I wanted to print. I wanted to be able to print stuff out in two columns on a single sheet of paper. So let's see, we're going to do Z to A. So like I have my notes here that I wanted to print. And what I did is I created an automator function on my Mac. I've never used Automator before, that uses a tool called Pandoc in a shell script, and then a format called LaTeX, LaTeX, to format a very particular format for the document. Now, patrons of Sly Flourish get access to this. There's a shell script that I pasted there. There's the Pandoc instructions. There's the template for Pandoc. That's all available to patrons of Sly Flourish. But getting it all running and installing is not insignificantly, it's not tricky. But basically, I'll show what I can do. And you can do this. How did I do this? I asked ChatGPT and I said, hey, give me the instructions for making a shell script that can output a document in Pandoc. There's a lot of installation of stuff, though. You have to use Automator, you have to install Pandoc, and you have to install the Mac, I think it's called MacTeX, which is the Macintosh version of LaTeX to render the PDF. But what it can do is I have my little automator. It's right on my little command window at the bottom. And when I run it, it says, you know, give me a markdown file. And I can open up and I will go to session notes and I will click on my notes. Let's see, we'll do the modified date. My notes for 3 of 5, and I hit choose. And it goes do 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 do, and then it outputs a folder. Or it outputs a file called output. And I will open it so you can see what it looks like. And this is what the file output looks like. You know, really straightforward, printable on one page, is using a 10-point font. You can actually increase the font size if you have a little extra room. But I did it at 10-point font, which is just about big enough. And it's a nice two-column display. I can hit print. I get it in a single sheet. I put a little extra margin, so if I wanted to punch the holes on the left-hand side, I could. I don't know that I need that, though, because I'm putting in a sheet protector, so I could actually change that margin and probably have a little bit more room on the page. And that way, I have a nice printable version of my notes. An easier way is to take the HTML version, paste it into Word, format it in Word, and then hit print. That doesn't take a lot of time either. But you know, it took like 4 steps to get this system set up so that I could have a one-click automator script to output the results. But the details of how that works, I put in some instructions that are available to patrons of Sly Flourish. So I have really been enjoying using Obsidian. I think some of that comes from my kind of like, I just like screwing around with other tools. But also I had been writing my notes in Markdown for like 10 years. I love Markdown as a syntax format. Before I had started using Notion, I was writing my notes in Markdown just in local files. So actually going back to having a tool that manipulates my Markdown files has been very straightforward. Some of the things that have helped me really get my hands around it is sticking to simplicity, not installing a ton of plugins, not trying to do full deep RPG integration in my notebook, and instead just having a list of things. I've really enjoyed using it as an augment to paper-based notes. That's been a lot of fun. So I really like it. I'm probably going to start using it for my next campaign. The next time I'm running a new campaign, I will probably do so in Obsidian. I've been enjoying doing it for my Empire of the Ghouls campaign. So almost certainly I'll be doing it then. And as I am learning more about it, as I am picking up new ideas or coming up with new things, I will certainly be sharing more of those on my show and to patrons of Sly Flourish and in newsletters and in other aspects as well. So we can go on this journey together. I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did and you want more stuff like this, the best way to get access to like all the stuff that I've been talking about is to join the patron of Sly Flourish. It is a very low monthly cost. You get tons and tons of different resources to help you run your games, including all of like the work that I do that I'm experimenting with and I'm trying out, a lot of code work, a lot of different little applications to help us run our games I make available to patrons of Sly Flourish, but also exclusive adventures, previews of works like the City of Arches sourcebook, tons of stuff that you get for being a patron of Sly Flourish. It's really good. You can also learn all about all of the different things that I put out every week by joining the Sly Flourish newsletter. I put out a new newsletter every week. It's absolutely free to sign up. You get a free adventure generator PDF and a weekly newsletter that has links to all of the different work that I do every week. And of course, you can pick up my books, Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master, The Lazy DM's Companion, Forge of Foes, Lazy DM Workbook, and all of my fantastic books and t-shirts and mugs are on the Sly Flourish bookstore. Thank you all so much. Have a great day and get out there and play an RPG.